اهلا وسهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابه اون لاين راديو امباورينج ذا يومه.
ویلکم یا مصطفی ویلکم.
میرے پیارے نبی ہے وجہ تخلیق جہاں لوگوں زمانے بھر میں ان جیسا بھلا آیا کہاں لوگوں ذبیح اللہ اسماعیل کے عالی نسب سے ہیں وہی مشہور صادق اور امی جیسے لقب سے ہیں گھرانوں میں گھرانہ ان کا دنیا بھر میں اعلیٰ ہے ہے جس کے پاس دل ان سے محبت کرنے والا ہے بنو ہاشم کی قسمت کے ستارے جگمگا اٹھے کہ عبد المطلب خادم بنے ہیں کعبۃ اللہ کے یہودی عالموں نے ان کو خوشخبری سنائی تھی نبوت کی گواہی بھی بہت سے راہبوں نے دی خدا لم یزل نے ان کو زمزم سے نوازا تھا اور اس پر ان کا ایک بیٹے کی قربانی کا وعدہ تھا جو قربانی کا قرآن نکلا عبد اللہ کا نام آیا قریشی خاندانوں کا یہاں پر دل تڑپ اٹھا دیا یہ مشورہ خیبر کے عرافان شیبا کو کہ تم اونٹوں کی صورت اس جوان کا خون بہا دے دو سو اس دن وادی مکہ کے ہر گھر میں خوشی پھیلی گلے مل کر وہب نے ان کی پیشانی بھی پھر چومی وہب مکہ کے کی کنبے بنی زہرا کے والی تھے سو عبداللہ کی شادی تھے ہوئی پھر ان کی بیٹی سے سب اس حسن مجسم تم کا بڑا اعزاز کرتے تھے تو عبد المطلب قسمت پہ اپنی ناز کرتے تھے بلا کا حسن تھا اور نور چہرے پر آیا ان کے یوشیدا تھے عرب کے بوڑھے بچے اور جوان ان کے حسیمہ تھے پیک نورے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اہلا وسہلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome to the midday morning show with myself brother Sulaiman Isub every Tuesday, Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 19th of Sha'ban 1446 corresponding to the 18th of February 2024-25. Alhamdulillah, we've just got less than a week or maybe a few days, about 12 days or so, until the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Once you read the Masnood, wa Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban, wa balighna Ramadan. And we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us safe during the month of Sha'ban and let us see the Mubarak month of Ramadan. We should also make dua for those that are sick in hospitals and at home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them complete shifa kamila ajila and a speedy recovery. We should also remember those that have passed away during these few months before the blessed month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the highest stage in Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, fully covered with nur, and grant the families sabrun jameel. Ameen, ameen, ya rabbal alameen. We're going to be crossing over now to our corresponding Alpha Sinkosi. As we are aware, in some parts of Johannesburg, it has been flooding. And in the low-lying areas, you know, they declared it a level 5 warning of disruptive rain and also flooding. And they urged motorists and pedestrians who are staying, residents who are staying in those areas, to please be very vigilant in looking after your belongings. You know, at this time when it's raining, a lot of people tend to drive more recklessly. And one should read, you know, when you leave your house, you should read the dua, Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You are invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name to be protected, to be divinely protected. And there's many other du'as also, like the du'a of Abu Darda radiallahu anh. And there's many various du'as that one should read. And also, one should also read the du'a from Surah 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 64. Allahu khairun hafidhu wa huwa arhamur rahimin. You know, there's various du'as from the Quran and from the ahadith that one should read. But, you know, also in the Johannesburg region, in the Johannesburg South region, there's been complaints about the water shedding. And now with the weather, there has been a substation that has blown up. And I know I stay in that area. We haven't had lights, electricity since yesterday. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. But for more news, let's cross over to our correspondent, Brother Alphas Nkosi. Alphas, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Sule. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you on this wet and cold Tuesday morning?
Nah, man. All is well. Indoors here. All is well. We love rain. But obviously, our heart goes out to those that it messes with their livelihood. I mean, the Sheikh dwellers as well. But yeah, well, it is what it is.
No, definitely. And we should also be considered. Also, our prayers go out to those, like you said, that are living in the low-lying areas and the informal settlements as well. You know, be it may be, they are still humans at the end of the day, and they are God's creation. And we should also pray for their safety and their well-being.
Absolutely.
Brother Alphas, what do we have in store for at your show from 12 to 12:55?
Well, we're just going to look at just several issues. First, to start with, we know that the African Union elected its new leadership over the past weekend. We're going to shine a spotlight on the new leadership of the African Union as to what are some of the challenges that they want to deal with in the African continent. What good does this leadership bring? You know, especially when you look at the African continent, what has just happened in the East Democratic Republic of Congo. Are we going to see this leadership doing by all means to stop all these wars, all these attacks in the Democratic Republic of Congo? And indeed, what are some of the top of the agenda from this new leadership? We know that Djibouti, and there's Mahmoud from Djibouti, the elected president of the African Union. So, yeah, we're going to take detailed discussions and analysis into the new leadership of the African Union. And then we know that tomorrow, Enoch Godongwana, the finance minister, will be tabling his budget speech, well, obviously, under the GNU as well. So we're going to take a preview of the budget speech, you know, what's to be expected, what are some of the key areas that the minister needs to look into. Especially, we know that Syntex never disappoint there. There's going to be drastic increases, but will he increase taxes as well? And of course, you know, the basket of food. Just thorough and detailed preview of the budget speech. You know, what are some of the changes? What good will it bring? Obviously, when you look at the budget speech, one can help and look at how does it help uplift the economy. But is it a matter of the poorer will keep on suffering, or the poorer will keep on remaining poorer? And yeah, so it's a very challenging time. It comes in a very challenging time under the GNU. And part of it, we're just going to look at what are some of those areas that they look into as they prepare the budget speech. You know, what are the elements thereof? And then we are going to as well, you know, just wrap up on the conversation we had yesterday with Professor Patrick Bond. That's with regards to today, more emphasis are going to be on the G20. You know, who's coming, who's not coming, you know, what good does it bring for South Africa as we are now leaders of the G20? We know with Trump and then the ambassador of the United States of America in South Africa said that, well, he's not going to attend this GNU. Obviously, this comes after this misinformation they received from some lobby groups about South Africa and the land grabs. So I continue with Professor Point on that particular issue, but with more emphasis on G20.
I like the phrase that you used, a basket of food. So it's a full-packed show that we are anticipating with you, Brother Alphas.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time, and we will catch you at 12 p.m.
Thank you very much, Sudhir. My pleasure.
Pleasure. Take care and have a wonderful day.
Sure. You too. Bye.
And that was our correspondent, and he does here the show, The News Hour, from 12 to 12.55. From 12 to 12.55 every Monday to Thursday, and he brings on a lot of political analysis and also various leaders and discussing what's in and happening around our country and also across the globe as to how it affects the economy and basically news and current events that are happening. But inshallah, we're going to be going for a nasheed break, and when we come back, we will be listening to Mufti Yusuf Mangera, and he will be telling us as to why sometimes our du'as are not accepted. A very beautiful clip, and sometimes you have to have we have to look at ourselves and retrospect, introspect, and you need to see as to where am I going wrong? What am I doing? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your du'as, but it has to be done with khushush. Some people, when you look at them, you know, when they lift their hands, they make the dua, within a few days it's done. They've got what they wanted. Obviously, jais and halal means. We should also read the dua in for success. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan halalan tayyiban wa amalan mutaqabbala. Oh Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a, grant me beneficial knowledge. Wa rizqan halalan tayyiban, and grant me halal and pure wholesome rizq, wa amalan mutaqabbala, and accept my deeds, which will be the deeds that will be accepted, wa amalan mutaqabbala, that you will accept. So inshallah, we're going to go for a small break, and when we return, we will listen to Dr. Mufti Yusuf Mangera as to why sometimes our du'as are not accepted.
Ahlan wa sahlan marhaba.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Welcome ya Mustafa, welcome.
Suniya har ja dhoom macha de shaan sahaba zindabad. सुनिया हर जा धूम मजा दे शान सहाबा जिंदाबाद शान सहाबा जिंदाबाद शान सहाबा जिंदाबाद दुश्मन को पैगाम सुना दे शान सहाबा जिंदाबाद शान सहाबा जिंदाबाद शान सहाबा जिंदाबाद शान सहाबा जिंदाबाद सुनिया हर जा धूम मचा दे शान सहाबा जिंदाबाद शान सहाबा जिंदाबाद शान सहाबा जिंदाबाद आका पर सब कुछ लुटवाया आका पर सब कुछ लुटवाया तन मन धन सब कुछ लुटवाया तन मन धन सब कुछ लुटवाया रब ने उसको झंग भी बनाया पर सब कुछ लुटवाया आका पर सब कुछ लुटवाया आका पर सब कुछ लुटवाया रब ने उसको झंग भी बनाया रब ने उसको झंग भी बनाया
अहलौ वसा मरहबा
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Welcome.
It's gone 20 minutes past 10 Central African time. If you want to send in any of your messages or any of your recipes that you'd like us to read out, you can send it through on 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. This is the clip that we're going to be playing out, The Hidden Reasons Your Prayers Are Not Answered, by Dr. Mufti Abdul Rahman Ibn Yusuf Mangera.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin, amma ba'd. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية. ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية. Dear brothers, dear sisters, dear friends, I had a different topic in mind, but when I came here, I observed something and Allah put into my mind to speak about this particular topic, is how do we successfully call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that our calling unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepted and it doesn't lead us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get constant questions that I've been praying for so long, I've been making dua for so long, and it's not getting accepted. I've done this, I've done gifts, given sadaqah, I've completed this etiquette, I've completed that particular advice, but still, I can't get married to him, or if it's a man, I can't get married to her, or it's not working out. I've done all of these things. So now, firstly, what I want to explain is that we have to understand the philosophy of dua first. What exactly is dua? So that we don't misunderstand this. If we misunderstand this, we're basically doing the wrong thing and then we get disappointed. Shaitan then uses that to make us feel bad about Allah. So then we feel despondent that there's no point and Allah doesn't really answer. And people, their faith becomes shaken by this. Firstly, what we have to understand is that every single individual is just a small individual in the grand scheme of things. Allah's creation is in the multitudes. If you compare ourselves in relationship to all the other creation of Allah or just the human beings, we're just a small human being. I know we consider ourselves to be very special. And you know, we individually are all special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, if I want X and you want X as well and there's only one X, who should Allah give it to, you or me? You want the same thing that I do. Who should Allah give it to? We're both praying for it. We've both given lots of sadaqah, done 10 raka'ats of nawafil prayer, and now asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sitting in i'tikaf in the masjid, who should Allah give it to? Maybe we should give it to both of us to share, but some things can't be shared. So what are we saying? How does that work? So if you look at the reality of the way matters are, Allah juggles all of this. He doesn't juggle anything. In our understanding, somebody who's so organized, he's juggling multiple things. They say one of the most stressful jobs out there is to be an event organizer. One of the most stressful jobs, I don't know if they've got any event organizers here, if you've dabbled in event organizers, very complicated, because you have to worry about multiple things with multiple parties, and then trying to get all that right. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is effortless to literally deal with every single event, and incident, and individual in the world at every single one time. His knowledge and power extends to every single leaf that falls. And imagine in autumn how many leaves fall off just a single tree. We're talking about مَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. That's what Allah says. He knows exactly about every single leaf that is falling anywhere in the world at one time, simultaneously in their multitudes. However, now coming back to our perspective, I want something, you want something. So, who gets it? Number two, if I do get that thing, Allah has, remember, He has foreknowledge. He knows about everything. If you look at Aqidah Tahawiyah, any of our books of creed, they talk about Allah knows about everything from before it happens. He knows about something before it happened. And He knows exactly how it's going to be when it does come into being. He knew all of that from beforehand. So, for example, let's just say I do get that particular car, or I get to marry that particular individual, or I get that particular business, or whatever it is. Allah knows that that is going to bring the mischief out in me. It might make me arrogant. It might make me overly confident. It might make me haughty and proud and conceited. I don't know that, do I? Right now, I don't know that. I just want it. I'm so tunnel vision because I'm obsessed by that thing. I want it. But Allah knows in the future. Plus, you have to remember the world we live in is a quantum world. What that basically means is that anything that happens in this world has an effect on someone else. I give you an example. Has anybody bought a car recently? Please, somebody. Has anybody bought a car recently? Right. So you bought a car recently. Jazakallah for volunteering. Right. I do like to ask questions. Okay. You bought a car. You think, what's anybody else got to do with it? I bought a car. I need a car. Maybe you less compliant. Whatever the reason was. Basic car. Wonderful car. Put it outside. Or I put it into my garage so nobody sees it. I don't think you can, I mean, unless you're just going to store it there, or in the middle of the night, or cover it up and put it in. I mean, people don't do that. You're going to take it in and out. You have 10 neighbors. Imagine what your neighbors all feel about your car. One is going to think, mashallah, he's got a good car. Good for him. He had a banger before. He's got a good car. Another one is going to say, where did he get the money to buy that car from? Number three, the guy's going to say, why did he buy that color, or that make, or that model? Number four, the guy is going to say, I need a car like that as well. Yes, I'm going to go and get a car like that. It's a really nice car. That's just four people so far. 10 people will have various different reactions and you can't help that. That's just the way the world is, right? You can't help that. Everything we do has some reaction somewhere else. Everything and anything. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He does for us, is usually always in the best interest. We just don't understand the best interest right now. Because if I get that thing right now, I might have, God forbid, it might be in an accident the next day. He knows exactly how it's going to affect everything else. We don't know that. We're just selfishly asking for ourselves. So now Allah has a system in place. He says, look, you need to ask me. You need to make dua. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man lam yas'alillah yaghdab alayh." The one who doesn't ask Allah, Allah gets angry on him. Multiple places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "Fas'aluni," like, ask me, ask me, ask me. That's a worship. In fact, one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that dua is the kernel and essence of worship. Salat is a worship. How does dua compare to salat? Salat, we're offering something to Allah. It's not selfish, is it? Is there any selfishness in salat? Not that we can usually see. Of course, we do it for our own benefit as well. But usually it's an offering. You know, when you make dua to Allah, are we offering Him anything? Or are we being selfishly asking for ourselves? So how is dua explained as being the essence of worship and devotion? I couldn't understand. So upon reading and investigation, what it is that when you make dua, you're actually devoting yourself to Allah. How? Because we're realizing our inability, our need, our servitude, our helplessness, and we're saying, oh Allah, only you can give me this. That's why it's a worship. We look at it selfishly, ya Allah, I'm asking for myself, I want this and I want that. But the reason we're asking Allah and nobody else is because we're seeing Him as our deity, our great one. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That's why it's a worship. Dua is a worship. Allah wants us to do dua. Prophet ﷺ said, if you don't do dua, Allah gets angry on you. So then Allah has a system in place. Because He can't just give us everything. People wake up people at night, they make dua for five different things. I want my daughter to be married to this particular individual. I want my business to do this, and I want to open a second store here. Da, 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 da. Yeah, he asked for five different things. Out of them, maybe only one happened or nothing happened within 2-3 weeks. And you're going to say to Allah, you're going to get angry on Allah. Now just think about it. You get angry on Allah, right? Why the answer? Question I'm going to ask you now, right? This should really make us understand. Is Allah your slave or your servant or your employee that He has to do your five things? You come to work and you say, okay, you get this done today, you get this done today, you get that done today, and this one is your job and this is your job. If they don't do it by the end of the day, you're going to be upset, aren't you? Why? You have a right to be. You're paying them. They're your servant. They're not your servant, but your employees. Or if you live in a place where you have servants and then you need to do some work, you're going to be upset, and you have the right to be upset because you're paying them. Are you paying anything to Allah?
So you dictate, you bark a few orders to Allah, right, literally, and then you get angry. Why didn't you give me that? Make any sense, does it? And the reason we think like that is because we don't know Allah and we don't know the system of dua. We just hear, we just understand dua as a selfish act of ask Allah. When we're asking Allah, we're literally submitting to Him. Now Allah always gives, remember that. You're like, He's never given me. He always gives. But He just, because He has to look after everything and what you may be asking for may not be healthy for you to have right now. So what does Allah say? I will respond to you in one of three ways. Just depends on what I know of how to keep everything in. I have to run the whole world, Allah is saying. I'm running the whole universe. Everything has an effect on something else. So I need to make sure everything is right. When I say make sure, I talk in my perspective. Allah doesn't make sure, He knows it. He doesn't make mistakes. Right? But from Allah's perspective, He can only give us what is in the grand plan is going to make sense for everything else. Right? Where does He want it to be? But He says, because you've made dua, I'm going to reward you for that. Just reward, reward, reward. Thawab. But I'm also, every dua you make, I'm going to respond to it in one of three ways as well. Number one, either I'm going to give you what you're asking for because it's healthy for you to have it, or good for you to have it, it's beneficial for you to have it, or it's part of the grand plan, I'm going to give it to you. So you get it, right? And you get really excited. Number two, it's not good for you because it's supposed to be for someone else, or it's going to cause this issue to you, or I want to test you in this way because I want you to be this, or I want you to do that. So what I'm going to do is, instead of giving it to you, I'm going to actually relieve you of another calamity that was supposed to come upon you. There were supposed to be some impending calamities and attacks on you. By you making dua, they've just been removed one by one. Number three, whatever you do ask for, I'm going to give you a reward for that in the hereafter. That's for sure. You ask for something, you've asked me, I'm going to give you a reward in the hereafter. Right? When we get to the hereafter, unfortunately we can't experience this right now, so it's difficult, but when we get to the hereafter and we see the rewards of all of our du'as amassing up, which we never expected to get because we wanted it in the world and we were kind of upset sometimes as well, we're going to think, I wish none of our du'as were accepted, we got it now, because that's the real life. But remember, Allah always gives you something back. He's promised that, that's for sure. I'll give you an example. You went for a trip to Bangladesh or Somalia. Right? Or wherever you want to go. Right? I just thought of Bangladesh and Somalia. So, you brought back something really valuable but very delicate. Maybe it's this really art piece. Some, you know, ornament or something. It's very common. Your little one-year-old wants to play with it because it's so shiny and sparkly. Like, give it to me. Are you going to give it to him? It's very valuable. You bought it for £250. Are you going to give it to that kid to play with? Because it can easily be broken. Because it's very delicate. Would you give it to him? Again, kid starts crying. Starts bashing at you like, no. You're not going to give it to him. What do you do instead? What do you do instead? If the kid is crying and they want something, you don't want to give him that thing. What do you do instead? You give him an alternative. You give him a sweet or something. All right? Keep him happy. Usually the kid is like, okay, but sometimes they see that again. No, I want that thing. All right? So what you do is you satisfy them some other way. You give them an alternative. This is exactly what Allah is doing with kids as well. We don't know that whether something is good or bad for us. That kid doesn't know that that thing is not appropriate for him right now. When he grows up, go ahead, bismillah, go and enjoy that thing. But it's not for you right now because you're too young for it. You'll break it up. It's the same way Allah deals with us. We are actually like children, basically, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He gives us something else, but we need to keep asking Him. So keep asking Him. And if it doesn't work out, then just realize, if it doesn't work out, just realize it wasn't for me. That's very, very pacifying and very, very comforting. Okay, I tried my best. It wasn't for me. I won't get it. I'll get something else instead. Otherwise, if you don't feel that way, you're still not going to get it. and you're going to feel upset. So what's the point of that? Understand the way Allah works. The philosophy of dua is very good to understand. So keep asking, because calamities will be thwarted because of that and repelled because of that. And we'll be rewarded, and inshallah we'll be definitely rewarded. Or if we're lucky, we'll get the thing in the world. A lot of the time Allah does give us, as long as we're doing the right thing, where it's appropriate, we usually get what we ask for. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connect us to Him in a way that we really understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as in the best way possible and make us satisfied. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
A very beautiful message indeed, given by Dr. Mufti Abdul Rahman ibn Yusuf Mangera. A few points that we can take note of from this clip that we have just listened to. He says that once the importance of making dua, and I've always lived by this here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our du'as in three ways. He will give you what you want immediately, like if you make dua today, then maybe a month, 2 months later, you will get what you want. The second one, I didn't know about the relieving of the calamity part, right? But He will answer your dua, but He won't give it to you right now or immediately. He'll give it to you when you feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you or answer your dua when he Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels that is most appropriate for you. Like say, for example, you look at a vehicle that you've always wanted. You pass by that showroom every day. You say, yeah, no, inshallah, one day I'm going to get that car. You know it's your dream car that you want. Anyway, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years later, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala blessed you financially, and you are able to get that dream car that you wanted. Or maybe it's a job that you wanted, or the certain salary amount that you wanted, and alhamdulillah, through hardship and through difficulty, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, فَإِنَّمَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَ إِنَّمَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَ. With every difficulty there is ease, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises not once but twice that after every hardship there is ease. So, and also not necessarily after the hardship, but during that hardship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you. That's why when you make dua for a person, you always hear them say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, grant you ease. And we must also make the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiya fi dini wa dunya wal akhirah. Oh Allah, grant me afiya fi dini wa dunya wal akhirah, in my deen, in my dunya, in this world, and in the akhirat. Akhirat is our final abode. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us. Sometimes we get upset. We nag, we persist. You know, we pull wazifas, we pull durood sharifs, we pull the duas. That, ya Allah, I want this particular thing, I want this particular thing. But Allahu A'lam, they say Allah knows best as to why you are not getting that particular thing that you wanted and you have been asking for it. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you, you will stop asking or you will stop making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, ya Allah, I've got what I wanted. Now you'll forget about Allah, wa na'udhu billahi min dhalik. That you'll forget now you are pulling, you are tearing the musalla, you are banging your head, you wanted this particular thing. Now after that you forgot about it. Now you forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because why? You've got what you wanted. You know, there's a saying that I saw recently. When you're in trouble, when you make dua, when you're in trouble, then you are in trouble. When you pray when you're in trouble, then you are in trouble. When you only pray when you are in trouble, then you are in trouble, because that's the only time that you will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when you've got a calamity, you've got a taklif, you've got the mushkil, you've got the parishan on your head, then you want to turn to the musalla and say, ya Allah, please, ya Allah, forgive me. Then all the wazifas, all the duas will start coming out. Then you will start. I speak for myself because I'm guilty of it. I'm 100% guilty of it. That when we want something, then we start pulling the musalla. We start pulling the tasbih that, ya Allah, I am a gunagar. But we are gunagars. No one is sinless in this world. We are all gunagar. We are all sinners. But the dua must be a lifestyle for us. Dua must be a lifestyle. We need to make a dua every day. Consistency is key in everything, in every aspect of life. Consistency is key in whatever we do. When we make dua, you know, there's certain ways that we make dua. After our first salah, we read the Durood Sharif. We read the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We implore Almighty Allah. We beseech Allah. We ask Allah. We praise Almighty Allah. And there's various other du'as that they say that you must start with. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi annaka anta Allah la ilaha illa ant al-ahad as-samad lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. There's very Rabbanas that you can start with. Then you make your dua. Make your dua, and obviously we have to make dua. We have to ask for jais. What is halal and tayyiban? What is halal? You can't be asking for things that you know that it goes against the Sharia, the laws of Almighty Allah. It goes against every aspect of the religion of Islam. You cannot ask for such du'as. Obviously, you can't be asking, Ya Allah, I want to take the lotto today. Ya Allah, please make me a winner. Then you're making du'a for haram thing, which you can't. It's obvious. And then you end your du'a by singing durood and salawat on our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, you keep on making the same du'a. If you want something, you know, they say if you also want something, make the conservative effort. Wake up for tahajjud. Wake up for tahajjud and read 2 rakat namaz. Inshallah, we make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you give us, give me the tawfiq, the hidayat, to wake up for tahajjud and turn to Almighty Allah. Because when you make your dua at tahajjud time, it's like an arrow that doesn't miss its target. Yes, your dua will get accepted. Definitely, 100%. But don't rush. Be patient, because your dua will be accepted, and you will see in some form, some shape or form. Maybe it's not the exact wording that you wanted, but you will, when you get something, you will say, Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka shukr kullu. It's gone 15 minutes to 11 Central African time. We've got another clip that I want to play out for our beloved listeners. But we're going to go for a small nasheed break, inshallah. And when we come back, we will play that clip for you. And it is the essence of how to prepare for the Mubarak month of Ramadan. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
وخلعت ثوب الكبرياء يا أمتي والحزن يعصرني على ما الانحنى ما بال رحلتك انتهت وخلعت ثوب الكبرياء لو كان يسعفني البكاء لمن من فرط البكاء يا أمتي هل يصبح الأعداء يوما أصدقاء رباهما ذاق الدهانا كيف ذل الأنقياء لك أنما الأمجاد شيدت دون ما بذل الدماء يا زماني ساعة واذكر زمان الأقوياء كم جلجل الحق المبين وطاف أنحاء الفضاء يا زماني ساعة وادكر زمان الأقوياء كم جلجل الحق المبين وطاف أنحاء الفضاء كم طهر الإسلام أجسادا وجمعها الإخاء السقم دب
أهلا وسهلا مرحبا
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio
Empowering the Ummah
Welcome Ya Mustafa Welcome
Our my dear respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is also another lecture, another small clip by Dr. Yusuf Mangira, and it is Steps to a Meaningful Ramadan. And we should take cognizance and heed as to what Dr. Mufti Saab is saying and how one should conduct oneself and also how to re-energize oneself for the Mubarak month of Ramadan. So inshallah, let's listen to this beautiful clip.
You read a certain tafsir, next year you adopt another tafsir and so on. Or you can focus on a science of the Quran. So Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullahi alayhi, used to spend, at least in the, I don't know how many Ramadans he did this, he used to spend his Ramadan just, can you imagine how refined he was about this? How, at what stage he'd reached, that he spent that Ramadan in just focusing on the rhetoric of the Quran, the balagha of the Quran. So he would do one juz a day, just focusing on what the balagha of the Quran is. That's very nuanced and refined. So, you know, he'd probably done all of his fiqh of the Qur'an and ahkam of the Qur'an and all of the others, and now he's talking about the balagha. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. So, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity for Laylatul Bara'ah that will be coming up in a few days' time, and then we have the Ramadan that's coming up. So I know this is going to be nobody's first Ramadan. So it kind of sounds a bit like what they call tahsilul hasil, to speak about Ramadan. I sometimes feel like you're just playing the same tune again and you get bored of it, right? Because this is not our, for anybody here, is it going to be their first Ramadan this year? I mean, many people are veterans in Ramadan. They've had done at least 10 Ramadans before this, or maybe 20. So what can I tell you that's going to be new? So وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ So that's what the main thing. It always helps the speaker and the listeners to be reminded. So more about practical tips. The main thing about Ramadan is that, I think if we were to sum it up, the thing that amazes me most about Ramadan and inspires is that it's a concentrated time. And we just don't understand the level of concentration and intensity in every moment of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in it, as compared to any other time. And one hadith that underscores this very, very simply is that if somebody misses a fast of Ramadan, you know, for no valid reason, maybe they've got a football match that day, they've got a client's meeting that day, or whatever the case is, so they missed Ramadan. They've not broken it, but they just missed it. And then after that, if they were to, which is wrong, for no valid reason, you can't just not fast in Ramadan, it's an obligation to fast. And then they felt really bad after Ramadan, so they fasted the whole year. Or maybe another interpretation, they fasted the rest of their life outside of Ramadan. They wouldn't be able to catch up to the reward they missed of that one day of missed fast. That's why Imam Ahmad Sarhindi, rahimahullah, even what he says is that every moment of Ramadan has such diluted, concentrated reward being offered there of thawab, reward, blessing, barakah, everything. Acceptance of dua, name it, everything. That you just don't want to squander that moment. So if you think like that through the month of Ramadan, you'll get more out of it so that you don't waste any time at all. There is no time to waste. And the beautiful thing is that Allah has given us multiple ways of closeness and qurbat. Qurbat are multiple, which means things that make you close to Allah. So you can't always be reading Quran. You might just not feel like it. And you don't want to read Quran when you don't feel like it, because the hadith mentions that when your heart is not into it, stop. You can just sit and ruminate over your life and do muraqabah. You could do salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And if that's not the case, then you can just train yourself to just breathe the name of Allah. That's really, it's so easy and it's actually very comforting. What they call the pass and fast, which basically means that you synchronize the taking of the name of Allah or the calling of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your breath. Allahu. So you're pulling in by saying Allahu. None of your tongue is needed in that. It's just Allahu. Well, your tongue is needed, but your lips aren't needed in that. So that's very comforting. You can just be relaxing. You just want to relax. You know, you've done verbally whatever. Now you don't want to do that. You don't want to stand up and praise. Just Allahu, Allahu, Allahu. You're going to work on the bus. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, whatever it is. So there's multiple things. You just don't want to waste your time in there. But the best way to do it is, what I found is that I try to start 2 months in advance, but sometimes a bit too much. So you know when they say that, oh, there's 2 months, 60 days left for Ramadan, 100 days left for Ramadan, that kind of, it's kind of like, don't tell me. But then on the other hand, it's beneficial to know. Because the way to get the most out of Ramadan is to make sure that you don't waste your time in Ramadan, which means that anything that you have to do, like the major projects you have, there's certain repair work, certain things you have to get done and finished, get them done before Ramadan. All of these tiresome, toilsome tasks that you have, which are going to bother you in Ramadan, because psychologically they're on your head. You know, everybody, I'm sure, has a list of things that they need to get done. Whether that be cleaning up your room, or arranging your table, or sorting out a phone bill, or signing up for a new contract, or a project at work, or school, or homework, or whatever. Get it done now. Make a list, and then start getting it done, and tick it off so you get your dopamine rush, right? And you feel really good about it. And then mashallah, when you enter Ramadan, first day running. Then number two, what we should have is, we want to improve on last year and the previous year. So as I said, you've done many Ramadans before, right? How did you get this Ramadan better than last one? Are you already doing the ultimate Ramadan? So you can't do any better? Mashallah, for the last 2-3 years, I've been doing this ultimate version of Ramadan. I can't do any better. It's like, wow, you know? There's nothing I can improve on there. If you're doing that, khalas, carry on. But if you're not doing that, then let's take heed of that and then plan that, okay, last year I gave this much sadaqah. This year I'm going to give this much more. Last year I did this much Qur'an. This year I'm going to do this much more. And when it comes to Qur'an, Ramadan is a month of the Qur'an, and the way our pious predecessors says is, yes, some focused on reading, but others focused on comprehension. And some even focused on a new aspect of the Qur'an every year. So this year you read a certain tafsir, next year you adopt another tafsir, and so on. Or you can focus on a science of the Qur'an. So Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to spend, at least in the, I don't know how many Ramadans he did this, he used to spend his Ramadan just, can you imagine how refined he was about this? How, at what stage he'd reached, that he spent that Ramadan in just focusing on the rhetoric of the Quran, the balagha of the Quran. So he would do one juz a day, just focusing on what the balagha of the Quran is. That's very nuanced and refined. So, you know, he'd probably done all of his fiqh of the Quran and ahkam of the Quran and all of the others, and now he's talking about the balagha. So we've got many, inshallah, we've got many years ahead of us. So that's what I started, when I figured this out about 3 years ago, so that's what I'm trying to do, to look at a different aspect of the Quran every year. So adopt whatever it is. That could be a different tafsir that you do, or whatever it is, so that you focus on that about the, it has to be something related to Quran. Another thing is, put some qadha prayers in. If you're doing your qadha prayers, then you should be. And if you're not, then start. Use that in Ramadan. So you're going to probably do tahajjud, right? You don't want to miss a single tahajjud this Ramadan. And it's easy to do so. So that should be one of your to-do list for sure. Tahajjud every day. You have to organize your time to get it right. And if you can get your family to kind of contribute to that, so get it in the house. Everybody has to do at least 2 rakats of tahajjud and some dua. When people do things together, you get your mum on board, and you get your father on board, your brothers and sisters on board, it's just easier. Because we're social creatures when everybody else is doing it, and you can be a force for change. Planning. When you go into Turkey, and you just decide to go, and you're so busy, you haven't checked it, you just suddenly end up in Turkey, and all you got is a hotel. You're going to have to try to figure out what to visit, what not to visit, right? That's going to take a day or two. But if you've got it all organized, you get there the first day efficiently, you just start your trip. That's the same thing with Ramadan. have it all scheduled of what you want to achieve, and have it broken down to per day and the timings of the day. In Ramadan, your strict schedule needs to be strict. Nothing besides that. That's the way many of our akabir used to be. They would meet people less. They would just focus, because there's no time to waste. So you need to know what you're going to be doing every month of Ramadan, every day of Ramadan, every hour of Ramadan. Right? And it's not difficult. You can easily do 15 juz of the Quran a day. You do 2 juz after Taraweeh. You do 2 juz, I mean, if you're a hafiz, especially if you're a hafiz, you can easily do it. 2 juz after Taraweeh, 2 juz at tahajjud time, including in tahajjud, after tahajjud, whatever. Don't go to sleep until you do 2. Wake up in the morning, especially, I mean, if you're working, you can do less, but if you're not working, wake up in the morning, do 4 juz. How many is that? 8. 2 juz going and coming from Asr. How many is that? That's 10. 2 more juz, at least 2 more juz Asr time, going, coming from Asr around that time. How many is that? 12. And then after Maghrib, you can do 2 juz. And then in Taraweeh, you've got another 2. So about 14 juz. And you can do more than that. That's just minimum. So it's not difficult if you plan your time. Of course, for a non-hafiz, you might not be able to do that much unless you're good at reading. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. Make this Ramadan better than any Ramadan before it. That should be our goal. Oh Allah, make this Ramadan better. Make us closer to you, Ya Allah, than we've ever been before. But keep us close afterwards as well. So may Allah bless us during this time, so that we can get a lot of chores and responsibilities out of the way, so that in Ramadan we're clean and ready to focus on Ramadan and take advantage of it. Waakhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Definitely indeed, my respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us to be better during the month of Ramadan, and we try and our level best to keep on and carry on with our ibadah that we do during the month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Let's give you the rundown for the shows that are to follow. At 11 to 12 will be the Bliss of Marriage, the Tuesday edition. 12 to 12.55 will be the News Hour with Brother Alpha Sinkosi. 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. 5 plus 1 to 1.30 will be the tafsir of Surah A'raf, verses 5. 1.30 to 2 will be the repeat of the from the archives of the tafsir, Surah Baqarah, verses 107. 2 to 3 will be lunch break with Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 3.45 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. 3.45 to 4 will be the Nasiha by Mulana Musa Akudi. 4 to 5 will be a lecture, Haram Kori or Kam Chori, by Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani. That will take us up to 5 p.m. 5 to 7 will be Mulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7.30 will be the repeat of the tafsir we'll hear at 1 p.m. That is the repeat of the tafsir of Surah A'raf, verses 5. 7.30 to 8 will be the Nasiha by Mulana Dawood Sirat, titled, If We Carry Out All Our Tasks in Accordance with the Laws of Almighty Allah, Then Everything We Do Will Be Ibadat. 8 to 9 will be Tasawwuf with Mulana Musa Lahir. 9 to 10 will be a lecture by Mufti Hashim Boda. If we do not change our actions, Allah's Adab is on his way. 10 to 11 will be an Urdu lecture by Mufti Muhammad Ali Falahi, Jannat Ki Ni'mat. And then 11 to 12 will be a lecture by Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaki Al-Shahid Rahmatullah Alayh. So that's the lineup from 11 to 11, full 12-hour lineup from the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the team of the Midday Morning Show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isuf, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Bi'amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ahlan wa sahlan marhaba.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio,
empowering the Ummah.